We've been studying the life of Abraham on Sunday mornings, and I was very much tempted to skip this chapter because it was just in September that we studied this chapter, and I thought pretty thoroughly at the baptism of William Bellinger Waters, and so I gave you what I thought was the main point of Genesis chapter 17, because it speaks so clearly about God's covenant, his covenant promise, and the covenant sign. And yet there were a few things that I couldn't cram into that sermon, so we come back to it this morning. But looking at it more from a different angle rather than just the covenant sign, but put it back in its context of what are we being told here about Abraham. What's the real point of this chapter in terms of the life of Abraham? And I want to begin just by reading this one verse, Genesis 17 and verse 17, which I think is a central text in this story in Abraham's life. Genesis 17, verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." Let's pause and ask God to bless our time as we study his word. Father, we do thank you that your word is eternal and that it is light. This is the revelation of your will. You have caused this story to be written down and placed in Holy Scripture that we might read it this morning, that we might think about it, that we might hear your voice through the story, that we might truly be guided by this prophetic word. And so be gracious and merciful to us. Grant your Holy Spirit that we might truly hear what you have to say to this church. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Abraham. Why laugh? Why laugh at God's word? Don't you know the Children's Catechism? Question is, can God do all things? And the answer is yes. God can do all his holy will. And so Abraham, why laugh? Weren't you expecting God to do something? Don't you know that God can do the unexpected, the unimaginable? Let's begin with the story of Genesis 17. And before reading the chapter, which we will do, I want to remind you of the context and then point out some features to look for as we read through the chapter. This story is told in such a way that certain features just cry out for our attention, and I think they provide a key to understanding what's going on in Abraham's life. And so, first of all, the context. This is a story about Abraham. Abram, as he was called by God. God chose him and gave him many wonderful promises. We find those listed for us right at the beginning, at his call in Genesis chapter 12. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so there's this wonderful promise to make a nation out of Abraham, to make a great name, to protect him, and then to make him, use him as a mediator of God's blessing through to all the nations, all the peoples on earth. But though he's called by God and blessed by God, we see very quickly as we read through Genesis that his life was not easy. He moves to Canaan. Immediately, there's a famine. Genesis 12. There's family conflict. Genesis 13. A war. Genesis 14. There's the pain of being childless. Genesis 15. His marriage to Sarah gets really messy in Genesis 16. But they stick it out, and he ends up with a son. And so we come to the end of Genesis 16, the last two verses. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And then this brings us to Genesis 17. This is going to be a story about names. You can't miss the emphasis on names as you read through this story. Abram is going to be renamed Abraham. The exalted father becomes the father of many nations. Sarai becomes Sarah, both names meaning princess. The name Ishmael becomes prominent, and we know him from chapter 16. He is the son of Abram and Hagar. His name means God hears. And then a new name is introduced, Isaac. He's yet to be born, and his name means he laughs. So people are being named. They're being given new names. There's some emphasis on who they are and some emphasis on their names. And then there's one more name in this chapter. It's in verse 1. I am God Almighty. For the very first time in the Bible, God reveals a new name, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. This is going to be a story about time. You can't miss the emphasis on time being marked off as you go through this chapter. What time is it? Ages will be mentioned. Abraham's age is mentioned in verse 1 and then again in verse 24 when Abram was 99 years old. And then verse 24, Abraham was 99 years old. This is what we call an inclusio. The story begins with this marker and then it ends with that marker. The author wants you to be thinking, Abraham's about 100 years old here. And so that's key to understanding the story. Their ages are given in verse 17, the text that we read. Abraham laughs. Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? We're told in this chapter that males are to be circumcised when they're 8 days old. Ishmael's age is given in verse 25, that he was 13 when he was circumcised. Passing time is marked. We see this at the end of chapter 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And then chapter 17 begins with Abram being 99 years old. And so we recognize that there's been a 13-year gap between the two chapters. 13 years of silence as Ishmael grows up and Abraham appears to be rather content with Ishmael. God again says, mark your calendar, verse 21. Sarah will bear you by this time next year. And so clearly this is a story about living under the constraints of time. And then it's going to be a story about promises and assurances. The God who promises identifies himself in verse 1. He's God Almighty. In this chapter we find that fundamental promise of the Bible that comes from God, that I will be your God and you will be my people. The promise is strengthened by mention of the covenant, and the word covenant occurs more than a dozen times in this chapter, and then the repeated verbs where God says, I will make, I will establish, I will give, I will be. We see this gracious aspect on the part of God in making a covenant with Abraham. And then to make the covenant promise even more sure, a large section of this chapter has to do with that covenant sign. Here is a sign so that you will know that this promise will be true. And so obviously this is a story of God reassuring his people. A story about Abraham, a story about names, a story about time, about promises and assurance, a story about our faith being challenged about what God can do. And so let's read Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. And I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born of a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, Yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be a father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Abraham fell face down. He laughed. Abraham, why are you laughing? We know where the story goes. We know that Sarah's going to laugh when she hears this news, and we know that Sarah is going to get in trouble for it. She'll even lie about it. If you turn to the right a page or so, chapter 18, verse 10, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid. So she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. We see that Sarah fails to grasp the promise. She laughs in unbelief. She is rebuked by God. She lies about it. She's fearful. But Abraham, why are you laughing? I mean, there's much here to stagger the imagination, isn't there? 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old wife. And after they had been married so many years, obviously they had wanted to have children. They never could. It's become obvious that she's barren. She cannot have children. And now at their age, it's too late. Or is it? Abraham believed that God was going to do something. Back in Genesis 15. Word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him his righteousness. Abram believed that God was going to do something. Abram even explored the unexpected in chapter 16, that very strange chapter. Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through here. And so Abram agreed to what Sarai said. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. For 13 years now, Abraham has been thinking, this is as good as it's going to get. This is it. God is good. God promised that I would have a son and I would become the beginning of a new nation. Here's my son, Ishmael. I am a father, just as God had said. This is what God had promised. He who promised is faithful. God has been true. God is good. But now God comes and reveals something unexpected and unimaginable. He says, Abraham, this is not just for you. It's for you and for Sarah. You will be the father of many nations, and Sarah, not Hagar, but Sarah will be that princess, that mother of rulers of nations. And it's at the mention of Sarah that Abraham laughs. But he laughs in joy and with faith. Notice that God doesn't get angry with Abraham. There's no rebuke, no correction, no striking Abraham dumb, no charge of unbelief, no anger on God's part. God doesn't even ask the question, why are you laughing, as he does with Sarah. Rather, God embraces that laughter and repeats the promise. Verse 19. After the laughter, God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son. And then he expands the promise. In fact, here's his name, Isaac. In your notes, I put the little comment that John Calvin made on this passage, which I think gets right at the heart of what the explanation for Abraham's laughter being very different from that of Sarah's. Calvin says, not that he either ridiculed the promise of God or treated it as a fable or rejected it altogether, but as often happens when things occur which are least expected, partly lifted up with joy, partly carried out of himself with wonder, he burst out into laughter. Has that ever happened to you? The least expected thing happens and you just laugh. It's a laugh of joy and of faith. Martin Luther has a similar perspective. He says, Abraham is full of joy, exulting and triumphing in the most beautiful and perfect faith. He falls to the ground and laughs, full of wonderment. He does not doubt, but is astonished and transported with joy. And the laughter is evidence of a heart overflowing with joy. To me, Luther says, indeed it seems that Christ had this very passage in mind when he said in John chapter 8, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Notice that God repeats the specific promise about Sarah a third time. I mean, he promised in verse 16 that it would be Sarah would be the mother. And then in verse 19, here's the name. And now, a third time, he says, and here's the time. Verse 21. Sarah will bear, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Three times, each time expanding the promise. And then Abraham proves the reality of his faith as we read in the book of James. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household were bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them just as God told him. It's that response out of faith of immediate obedience. That's the story. That's think, a right perspective on Abraham's laughter. Now, what are the lessons for us? Why is it here in our Bibles? What would God want us to learn? Three things this morning. Number one, expect God to do something. Just expect God to do something. Expect God to be active in your daily life. God has promised to bless you. He's promised to provide for you, to care for you, to sustain you, to defend you, to grow you, to mature you, to use you. Expect Him to do that. Your faith is going to be challenged in life. But expect God to do something. Expect Him to do something here in your church, in your family, among your children. Remember the children's catechism. Can God do all things? And remember the answer. Yes, God can do all His holy will. Now to Him who is able to do. God Almighty, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. Secondly, expect God to do the unexpected. Don't set limits on what you think God can do. He's not limited by your name, who you are, or the limitations to your character, personality, or whatever. God's in the business of changing people. He can change people as easily as change their name. Don't expect God to always work within your time frame. There might be 13 years of silence. You might have another year to wait. Abraham waited 100 years. Don't think that God's not working because you don't see it today. Don't let the past paralyze you. You know, what's done is done. Don't let the future frighten you. It belongs to Him. He knows exactly what's going to happen next year at a particular time. Don't be impatient or frustrated with where you are today. God knows that you're not getting any younger. God knows that time is slipping by. That doesn't bother Him. He can do the unexpected. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, than all we would expect. And then thirdly, expect God to do the unimaginable. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's beyond the imagination, not just expectations, believing that God can do something, that God can do what is unexpected. That would never happen, but that God would do the unimaginable. It's never entered your mind that that's a possibility. Expect Him to do things like that. Don't limit God to what you think is best for you or your family or your church. I think we often do this in prayer. You know, God, please do A, B, or C. I'll give you three choices. Whichever one you think is best, it's up to you. You're God. Just pick A, B, or C and do that. And what God has in mind is X, Y, and Z. Something that has never entered your mind that He wants to do. Expect God to do the unimaginable. Martin Luther said, let God be God. He said that sometimes we expect silver when what God has for us is gold instead. God doesn't want to just give you second best. He wants to give you the best. And so expect Him to do something. To do something. To do the unexpected. Even the unimaginable. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we believe, but we again ask that you would help our unbelief. We ask that you would stretch and expand our vision of faith. To be captivated by a vision of who you are, a God who is able to do all things. But help us not to be just satisfied with a simple, generic answer that you can do all things, but to believe that you can do exactly what you have promised in our personal lives on a day-to-day basis. As we begin this new week, help us to truly trust you every step of the way. To expect that we would meet you not just in church, but throughout life, at work, in homes, shopping, wherever we may find ourselves, to actively look for you to be doing something, even the unexpected and the unimaginable, and then help us to quickly turn to you and to acknowledge that and to give you thanks. We do pray that you would use your word and spirit to increase our faith and confidence in you, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.